This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is the word of truth.
It is the word of truth.
I am.
I am.
What it says I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
I can do.
What it says I can.
What it says I can.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
And not a doubter.
And not a doubter.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
And not just a hearer.
And not just a hearer.
I'm humble before the Lord.
I'm humble before the Lord.
I'm obedient to the Lord.
I'm obedient to the Lord.
I'm mature in the Lord.
I'm mature in the Lord.
I'm enthusiastic about the Lord.
I'm enthusiastic about the Lord.
I know that.
I know that.
Faith comes by hearing.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing by.
And hearing by.
The word of God.
The word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. His name, Nathan. My name, Nathan. His parents from Louisiana. I'm from Louisiana. There are many more comparisons, but we have to get to the word. Amen. This morning's scripture. This morning I have two scriptures. I combined them because there's a word or some words in each of the scriptures that jumped out at me, and I also use them as the title of my message. The first scripture is coming from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 15. And it's from the New King James Version. And it reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And the second one comes from Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 29. Matthew 11, 29. And it reads, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Amen. You may be seated. The title of this morning's message is Study and Learn of Me. Study and learn of me. I've just read to you two imperative scriptures. Both of them are placing upon man the necessity of preparation. In 2 Timothy 2 and 15, Paul is referring to mental training. And in Matthew 11, 29, Jesus is referring to spiritual training. It should be clear in our minds that both scholastic and spiritual preparation is necessary in order for one to be prepared for both life and death. Sometimes it's hard to get people to understand that. Many feel that they have all of the answers or that they know it all. It's hard to convince some people that there is more for them to learn. Jesus wants every man of every profession to know that there is always something more for them to learn, especially when it comes to him. Some people think that when they have finished their majors and have earned their degrees from college, that they don't need to learn anything else. Jesus is saying to the high-minded, you need to get into my school and learn of me. Paul made the conditions of his time a preparation period for those who would lead God's people. He provided guidance and direction for the early Christians, offering profound insight into the future of salvation, the role of grace, and the purpose of the church. These teachings continue to shape the Christian faith and inform the beliefs and practices of believers worldwide. Let's consider Christ as a teacher, and let us consider the nature of his instructions, the manner of his communications, in the scope of his teaching. Notice, his instructions were different in their fashion. He explained and illustrated the doctrine of providence, sovereign control, and divine guidance. He exposed the depravity or the corruption of the human heart while exhibiting the remedy which God had provided. He stated and reinforced the necessity of repentance, of faith, of regeneration, and of holiness. He published a new code of laws that extended to the entirety of mankind. He plainly stated the certainty of a general resurrection and the opening of the glorious gates to immortality and eternal life. His instructions were of importance. The contrast between his doctrine and the wild theories of the Grecian philosophers were different. His instructions were of individual and universal concern. He is the world's teacher. Jesus speaks to every class, every race, in every nationality, and says to man of every profession, learn of me. In other words, come into my school. There is more for you to learn. But sometimes people don't want to listen, and they feel that what they have as far as education is enough. And at times it is, depending on what you're doing or what you're talking about. What if the more learned people met Jesus? What if they had the chance to speak with Jesus and explain or boast of their education? Have you ever wondered what those conversations would be like? Is it all right this morning if we have a few highly educated people to speak with Jesus? Now, let me give this disclaimer. For those of you who completed school, who have your degrees, I'm not saying that it's not enough, but you could always learn more about Jesus. This morning, I had to chuckle a little bit because there were two sisters, and they were talking, and they were talking about education and certifications. And I had to turn my back because I didn't want them to see me laughing, knowing what my message was going to be about. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with getting your degrees. Amen? Amen. I'm going to make sure I got that straight. The first person to speak with Jesus is a botanist. Botany is a branch of biology dealing with plant life. It normally takes about 4 years for a person to receive their degree. They have to study subjects like plant physiology, genetics, ecology, taxonomy, general biology, biochemistry, plant anatomy, the ecosystems, molecular biology, environmental biology, and mathematics. That's a whole lot of ologies, ain't it? That's a whole lot of studying. Amen. Now let's see what this guy says as he presents his credentials to Jesus. He comes up before Jesus and says, I have written many books on the subject of plants, to include how they function, evolve, and interact with other organisms. I've done research on the various agricultural uses of plants and how they might respond to the different environmental challenges like climate change and disease. It has been the work of my life to explain and to analyze plants. In fact, I have bred new strains of plants, and I have given many different plants their scientific names. But you, what are your credentials? Jesus sat back and looked at him and told him, "Learn of me, for I am an old teacher. My experience is great. Long before the hills stood in order in which they stand, or the earth had its frame, I was a teacher. Before the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, I was a teacher. You see, I planted a garden a long time ago, and it was a beautiful garden. And in the garden that I planted, there were many plants and trees. And the trees were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And there were two trees in particular that you may have heard of. They were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In fact, I myself am a flower. If you were a student in my school, you would have read and learned from the scriptures that I am the rose of Sharon, and I am the lily of the valley. And there is no scientific name that can be given to me. I know that I'm old, but you need to come into my school and learn of me." I can see this educated man turning and walking away, feeling dejected with his head down. Just because a person finishes college doesn't mean that they know all that they need to know. Only God holds all the answers. The next man walks up to Jesus and says, "I am a chemist." A chemist is a scientist who studies the composition, structure, properties, and behavior of matter. They measure and analyze the chemical reactions and interreactions between different substances. A chemist uses his knowledge to design and create new materials, drugs, and technologies. It takes about 4 to 10 years of college along with graduate courses to become a chemist. No wonder he figured he could just walk up to Jesus and talk to him any kind of way. So this man walks up to Jesus and says, "I am a chemist, and I don't need to go to your school. I am skilled in the science of chemistry. I can feel the soil in the middle of the night and tell you what it will produce. I am the author of many formulas. I can take two substances entirely different from each other, and I can compound the two different elements of the earth and make them serve man as a medicine to cure his ills. I can minimize and I can magnify. In fact, I am a teacher in my profession. My name as a professor is on many college diplomas, and it would be humiliating for me to go back to school now. Besides, I have my PhD. But Jesus, the chief of all chemists, says to him, it's all right that you have all of the knowledge that you have about chemistry, but it would be better for you to enter into my school and learn of me. For if you were to read John, the first chapter, verses 1-3, you would find that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, there was nothing made that was made. Jesus looks him in the eye and tells him, I am the Word that is spoken of in those scriptures. So with all of the education that you have, you should now realize that I created the very properties out of which your chemical formulas were made. For I am the chief chemist. I saw a man one day, and he had been blind from his birth. I spat on the ground and made a chemical solution and anointed that man's eyes. And although he had been blind from his birth, he received his sight. And there's not a chemist in all the world that can analyze the solution that was placed on his eyes. You speak of your ability to minimize and magnify. Why don't you learn of me and find out who I am? On one occasion, I took 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Now I know the word is fish. I do. I'm saying that for the educated because I just need. I know the word is fish, but fishes sound good to me this morning. I took 5 loaves and 2 small fishes and so magnified them to that 5,000 were fed besides women and children. And 12 baskets were taken up afterwards. You boast of your ability to tell what the soil will produce. But I made the soil. And I put into it all of its chemical properties. Become a student of my school and learn of me. Look at that chemist as he walks away. Realizing that even though he had all of that schooling, he didn't know as much as he thought. Now, here comes the philosopher. A philosopher is a person who seeks wisdom or enlightenment, one who is an expounder of a theory in a particular area of their experiences. Some philosophers were also inventors who dabbled in physics and other sciences. This character is a proud and haughty fellow who scoffs at the idea of going to school. He says to Jesus, I gave the world the principle of the lever, the law of the light, and the law of the fallen bodies. I am too intelligent to be sitting in your classroom. What I have learned and shared with man has allowed him to move what was once thought to be unmovable as long as he has the right and proper instruments. In my class, I have taught the physical characteristics of light and the theoretical models that describe the nature of light. I have written mathematical equations to help explain that all falling objects accelerate at the same rate and show that the distance a falling object travels is directly proportional to the square of the time it takes to fall. The students with diplomas to which my name is signed are recognized throughout the world. You see, I have my PhD. But Jesus says to him, come and learn of me. Come to my school. I am somewhat of a philosopher myself. The knowledge that you have and have shared is a great boon to mankind. But all of the principles that you have written as they regard to moving objects from here to there have nothing to do with saving souls. Tell me, philosopher, can your written principles lead anybody to eternal life? My principles can. I am the principle of all principles. Tell me, philosopher, in all of your wisdom and with all of your learning, do you understand what I just said? Did you know that there was a difference? I am sovereign over all theories and concepts that any man has ever thought of. And I don't need a fulcrum or a lever to move anything heavy. For I am the author of faith. And if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to any situation in your life that you might consider to be a mountain, and it can be removed from your path. And as far as the fallen bodies, that you speak of are inanimate objects. They have no life. But the fallen bodies that concerned me were those of man. You see, when man was shut out, when the door of hope was closed, and he was falling away from God, I left my throne in glory and came to this planet Earth. I caught up with him on Calvary. I fixed his bond and I reconciled him to God. You speak of the law of the light. When this world was in darkness, I placed in it the sundial of my everlasting love, touched it with my omnipotent finger, and as it began to move and oscillate with tremendous power, it set the waves in motion as they began to move from the shores of time to the shores of eternity. I spoke to nature and said, let there be light. And from the womb of nature, light began to leap at a rate of 186 miles per second. Philosopher, do you now see that I am the author of light? I am known among my students as the light of the world. And some of them, if you ask, they will tell you that I will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. The philosopher looked at Jesus, and while he was standing there, he realized that all of his big words were no match for the supreme creator of all things. Now, here comes the physician. A physician is a healthcare professional who has earned a medical degree, is clinically experienced, and is licensed to practice medicine. In other words, he is a person trained in the art of healing. He comes forward and says to Jesus, I don't think your invitation to attend your school should be extended to a professional man like me. I've been to school already and have finished my prescribed courses. And I finished at the top of my class. I know the anatomy of the human body up and down, back and forth. And I understand the function of every organ in the body. I know how to place the cells in proper working order, and I know the circulation pattern of the blood within the body. And I can perform an operation that will baffle the skills of past ages. And besides, I have my MD and my DMS. Jesus says to him, I appreciate you sharing your education level. It's good to know that you've studied the human body. And it's noteworthy that you know the circulation pattern of the blood within the body, but what do you know about the blood? Look at the curious expression on this man's face, because he doesn't understand what Jesus is saying or know what he's talking about. Jesus tells him, you are very smart, and it appears that you are extremely intelligent, but you know nothing of me. That is why I gave you the invitation to come to my school. You need to come to my school so that you can learn of me. I don't care that you know about the science of medicine. You have no balm in Gilead that can cure a sin-sick soul. Physician, is it okay if I share some of my credentials with you? Jesus said, I am an old doctor. And if I were to put post-nominal titles, post-nominal titles are those letters that the professionals put behind their name on a piece of paper so they can show you all of their degrees and everything that they have done. It makes them feel special. I ain't hating on nobody. And if I were to put post-nominal titles behind my name, they would probably read, Jesus Christ, burden bearer, load share, joy in sorrow, hope for tomorrow, the way, the just one, the word, the rock of salvation, prince of peace, king of kings, protector, provider, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, king of kings. I could go on and on. But to keep it simple for you, those who need healing for whatever reason, just call me Dr. Jesus. I don't care how long a man has been afflicted with sin, I can cure him. Every patient that's ever come to me came after they felt that the world had given up on them or felt that all was lost. But you know what? I've never lost a patient. And as far as surgery, I perform the first operation of this world. Back in the beginning, after I had created man in my own image and after my likeness, I placed him in a garden and told him to keep it. But I could see that he was lonesome. So I laid him down, caused a deep sleep to come over him without using any anesthesia. And while he was sleeping, I opened him up, took a rib from his side, closed him back up, and I didn't use any stitches. I took that rib and I made something. And after I woke him up, the first words out of his mouth were, "Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman." Tell me, physician, have you ever performed a surgery like that? And the circulation pattern of the blood that you spoke of, I know it well, because I am the one who established the pattern. Now, I'm not trying to discredit the school that you attended or the people who taught you. But if you were a student of my school, you would have known that already. The physician, with all of those letters behind his name, could do nothing but turn and walk away. Jesus is saying to us, enroll in my school and learn of me. Some of you may already be attending class and have been attending for a while, Ms. Marvel. To you, I say, stay in school. Don't be a spiritual dropout. In case you're wondering, my school has no age limits, and I've already paid your tuition. The only qualifications required are repentance, belief, and baptism. When my name is signed on your diploma, all you have to do is present it on judgment day, and the Father will pass you to the next level. If you're not enrolled, you need to get enrolled in my school and learn of me. Somebody might want to know, where is this school located? How can I get registered? What building is it in? Can I catch a ride with you? Well, you don't have to go nowhere. You can start class right where you are. When you invoke the Holy Spirit that's within you, that's when your registration starts. And the good thing about it is, you only need one book. And in this book is everything that you need to know about right and wrong. Everything that you need to know about love. And most of all, it teaches you about love. And if you get that part right, if you understand the part about love, then you're learning of me. Because I am love. Jesus is pleading, imploring, insisting, begging, whatever word that fits. If you haven't done so already, register to get into my class and learn of me before it's too late. Because one morning, when the wheel of time ceases to turn, when the sundial of God's everlasting love ceases to oscillate, when the planets all line up to hand God their final reports, when the wild goats come down from the mountains, and when the rabbits come out of their burrows, when the rivers stand still, and the chandelier of nature ceases to emit its rays upon the earth, when the stones break their silence, condemning the men who have failed to call on God, when God speaks to the earth and sees and they give up their dead, if you don't know the story, you need to learn of him. I don't know about you, but I try to study to show myself approved unto God. Not only that, but I took his yoke upon me and began to learn of him. And as I was learning, you know what I found out? He was born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes. They laid him in a manger. He grew up strong in the spirit. And then one day he told his mother that he had to be about his father's business. He went around doing good, healing the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He made the lame to walk. Gave the deaf the ability to hear and gave the mute the ability to speak. And he even raised the dead every now and then. And you know what else I learned? They lied on him. They took him before a Pilate and put some trumped up charges on him. They accused him of blasphemy. The kangaroo court found him guilty. They sentenced him to death by crucifixion. So he had to pay the price. And the price that he paid was for us. Can't you see Jesus on his way to Calvary with that cross on his back? And that cross was heavy because that cross carried the sins of the world. The sins of the world back then, the sins of the world between then and now, and the sins of the future. But Jesus kept on his way, knowing that he had something to do. When they got him up to Calvary, they put the cross on the ground. They laid Jesus on top of the cross. They nailed his feet to the cross. Then they nailed his hands to the cross. Then they took the cross and they raised it up so that he can look down upon everybody. When they raised him up on the cross, he just looked out over the multitude. Then he looked up at his father and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There were two other people on crosses with him. And he looked over to the right and he saw a thief. And told him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." After he looked down, looked at the thief, he looked down at his mother Mary, who was at the foot of the cross crying. And he just said, "Woman, behold thy son." Then he looked up and said, "Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You see, Jesus and God had a good communication, but at that time, God didn't talk back to him because, see, Jesus was carrying the sins of the world, and God could do nothing but turn his back on sin. Then Jesus realized what was happening. He had been up on the cross for a few minutes, and he said, "I'm thirsty." They came and they gave him some wine mixed with gall. He spit it out because he didn't want it. It was at that time that he realized his mission was over. So then he said, "It is finished." When he said it was finished, in a few more seconds, he just looked up to heaven again. And he said, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." And then he took his head and hung to the side. And then But that's not how it ended. That's not how it ended. They tell me that they took him off the cross. They tell me that there was a tomb of a rich man. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. And they said they took Jesus' body and he walked over and they put him inside the tomb. While Jesus was in the tomb, he rested. He rested for the rest of that day. He rested all the next day. And they tell me early on Sunday morning. You see, Jesus told them that they can put this body in the ground, but in 3 days, he's going to raise this body up again. So early on that Sunday morning, Jesus got tired of resting. He had rested long enough. It was time for him to come back and finish up the rest of his mission. Can't you see Jesus getting up that morning with all power in his hand? Can't you see Jesus looking out over the people saying, "I am alive"? You see, Jesus was alive then, and he is alive now. All you got to do is just call on the Lord. Whatever you need, he'll be there for you. Whatever your education level, he'll be. Glory to his name. All you got to do is call on it. Whatever it is, financially, physically, mentally, Jesus will be there. It matters not your education level. It doesn't matter if you finished the third grade like Jeffro Bodine. It doesn't matter if you have all kind of degrees. Jesus is there for everybody. This morning's scripture. Alas, indeed, my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes, it was, that I had done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity and grace unknown, and love beyond degree. We can sing it. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. It was the cross, y'all. It wasn't him being born. It's all about the cross. He went to the cross for our sins. He died for our sins. Oh, but he got up. Victory over death. All power in his hands. All power in his hands. You don't have to worry about nothing because he has all power. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Amen. All heads bowed. All eyes closed.